Welcome back. Well, Liquid Telecom has signed an agreement with Telecom Egypt, which will enable it to build a terrestrial fiber network from Cape Town to Cairo, said to be a historic moment for a more connected Africa. Amidst that shifting landscape, investment bank JP Morgan has said that the second half of this year will be a defining period for regulatory risk in South Africa's telecommunications sector. Arthur Goldstuck, who's MD of Worldwide Works, joins us on the line to discuss both these issues now. Arthur, thanks so much for joining us on the line this evening. And I want to start off with the MOU that has been signed between Telecom Egypt and Liquid Telecom. It, of course, enables a network now stretching across the African continent. How significant a move is this? What are we looking at?
Thank you and good evening. It's a fascinating agreement because it really puts into place one of the last pieces of the puzzle of high-speed connectivity across Africa. There are still areas where you don't have ideal connectivity and you don't have fiber necessarily, particularly in the more, let's call it the desert areas of Africa and certain areas of Central Africa. But essentially, most countries in Africa can now connect via a high-speed network across the continent. And what that really means for businesses, to start with, is that it cuts down the lag in communication between businesses, especially financial services businesses in African countries, when they are having to have instantaneous communication and, let's call it, transactions or settlements with financial institutions in the rest of the world.
While this buys you a more connected Africa, and that's great, what everyone really wants to know, Arthur, is, what this what kind of price tag this comes in at. So what implications does this have as far as cost is concerned?
It's quite an innovative approach. Liquid are essentially saying they have their networks in most African countries and stretching up from Cape Town all the way up to the Sudan, but they didn't have that link across from the Sudan to Egypt, whereas Telecom Egypt has got their own fiber network, their own independent fiber network in Egypt. Mm-hmm. So rather than reinvent the network and build theirs or try to get regulatory approval to build their network in Egypt, they've teamed up with Telecom Egypt so that they don't have to invest in it. The cost has been the connecting fiber line between Sudan and Egypt. And that obviously came with a lot of political implications as well. But just being able to complete that line, it's a relatively low cost. I don't know what the numbers are, but it's not as substantial as, let's say, creating a fiber grid that encompasses Pretoria, Johannesburg, and Durban. Just that small little stretch enabled them to complete that final link that takes fiber all the way from Cape Town to Cairo.
So how much of that benefit derived would actually translate to the consumer at the end of the line?
It's not a consumer play at this stage, although in the longer term it does mean that service providers who rely on onward connectivity and need redundancy, and that means that they have multiple points of connection and of connectivity, will be able to have additional options. And the more options you have, the more competition there is and the lower the cost is at the wholesale level. So this will, in the longer term, provide for more reliable connectivity, mm-hmm. but also it should have an impact on price, but it won't have a direct impact on the consumer in the short term.
Okay, so that one of the headlines that did the rounds this weekend, it came together with some caution from JP Morgan, centering around South Africa's telecoms landscape in particular, Arthur, and moving away from the wholesale space. It's highlighted that, you've got the second half of 2018 cited to be the defining period for regulatory risk for the telecommunications sector. How are you viewing the South African landscape at this stage?
At this stage, everyone is waiting for the regulator and for the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services to finalize the allocation of spectrum and how they're going to allocate that spectrum. And the big question mark is whether they're going to go ahead with the idea of a wholesale access network, which is hugely unpopular. The thinking behind it in government has been that they would take away all the spectrum that's already been allocated, pool it all together, and then require any operator to rent spectrum from that pool. But that should be massively destructive for the telecom sector, because so much has been invested in infrastructure based on specific spectrum that has already been allocated. So that's really where the big question mark and the risk lies at this stage.
Arthur, we've had Vodacom CEO going as far as saying that the impending Electronic Communications Amendment Bill is the industry's equivalent of the mining charter, which has been blamed, of course, for denting investment appetite into the sector. Do you agree, and is that your outlook as well?
If they go ahead with the WOAN concept, that wholesale access network, then I fully agree with them, because it has the potential to destroy so much value, certainly the value of the major operators, and also deter investment, because when you have that kind of scenario, you introduce uncertainty into the telecoms environment. And the telecoms environment requires massive investment in infrastructure, and you effectively chase away the source of a lot of that investment.
Absolutely. Well, let's leave it there. Arthur, thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Arthur Goldstack, MD of Worldwide Works.